You're listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Only here, lastwordonsports.com.
What's up, Internet? My name is Matt Pollard, and you are listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio, only here, lastwordonsoccer.com, powered by Last Word on Sports Incorporated, the Beautiful Game Network, and Roughneck Scarves. Happy Christmas Eve to those of you who are celebrating. Daniel Sperry is with me tonight, and we will be doing our annual Christmas / New Year's just general holiday episode, where we are going around the entirety of Major League Soccer and we're getting every single team in MLS a Christmas present, ideally something that they are in desperate need of, and then also assigning them a New Year's resolution, something that they didn't do particularly well in 2018 or haven't done well in the past in general, and something that they can also improve upon that's going to make them better. Maybe take a non-playoff team to becoming a playoff team, maybe a playoff contender into a favorite to win a trophy. But first of all, Daniel Sperry, how are you doing tonight, my friend? Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays, and happy holidays to the listeners. I'm excited. We're on our way on down to Southern, and by Southern I mean, like, you know, like, if you didn't know that Missouri has like a bit of a panhandle, or we'll call it like a little...
Are you going to Missouri, Dan?
Appendage. I'm going to Missouri. It is like the appendage at the bottom of Missouri that kind of sticks out there. It's actually not quite down that far into the whole New Madrid thing. If you're into like some crazy conspiracy theories, like the New Madrid fault is reportedly like probably a higher probability for the next big earthquake than the Hayward fault in the Bay Area. So if you're into some of those kind of weird geographic conspiracy theories and stuff like that, nothing has ever happened on either side that's like massive, but it's kind of down in that area. Kind of, if you're familiar with the region, it's called Cape Girardeau, about 3-ish hours south of St. Louis, down 55. It's interesting. It's where a lot of Bethany's family is from. So we'll be going down and having a big old party down there. For those of you who don't know, Bethany is my wife. So, it's where all her family is from. And then we have a 50th wedding anniversary to, celebrate after that as well. So, gonna spend about a week down there now. So it's gonna be a nice little holiday time. It's not as cool as last year. I got to go home to California, do like all my family tradition stuff. So, and a little bit more extra in terms of traveling and sightseeing. So don't get to go to Yosemite, but, still be a really good time with a lot of family and friends as well.
Excellent stuff, Dan. I will be going home to California, so I'll be spending time with the parents and the two new cats who I got to meet over the course of Thanksgiving, who I showed up to, and they see that, you know, there are a bunch of beds in the upstairs part of the house, and there was one bed that was unoccupied, and then my brother, being the chaotic neutral little brother that he is, decided to put their cat beds on my bed for the first couple of weeks that they were there, so they just kind of assumed that what was historically my bedroom was their bedroom, and then they got all offended when like a new human who they'd never seen before showed up and started sleeping in their bed. I was able to curry their favor by petting them and playing with them and giving them treats and everything. I will be getting them a Christmas present, but I'll be dealing with that. And then I don't know if I told you this, Dan, but my office actually, my work did an economic analysis of like historically what people do between like Christmas Eve and New Year's Day, and they found out that that's like the best time, like with our clients and our busy and everything, that like no big projects are getting done in the back half of December until the first full week of January, that so many managers take time off that basically everybody under them, like entire teams and service lines, don't have anything going on. So a couple of years ago, my work just said, the day job just said, you know what, everybody from Christmas Day to January 1st, no work. It's only 4 days of PTO anyway, so it's just mandatory PTO, and they shut down the office. We're not allowed to work, so I'll be spending 3-4 days at home, and then I'll be going, and I'm trying to get Russell up a bunch of friends, and we'll be going to Keystone, which is in Summit County, For skiing, and then I'll be heading my way. I've got an Airbnb set up for the 2 days before New Year's to be going to Crested Butte, which is widely regarded as one of the best ski resorts and ski mountain towns in all of Colorado. So that'll be super, super fun, and hopefully I'll be watching Notre Dame not win the national championship in the middle of that in college football. I should say, listeners, that Dan and I, because of our travels and because of Christmas happening earlier in the week and stuff going on in the second half of the week, we're actually recording this today. Is actually December 18th, so the Tuesday before Christmas Day. So I'll say that a big asterisk prerequisite to this podcast is we're going to be discussing some things, as I mentioned, with the Christmas presents and then the New Year's resolutions. Christmas presents that potentially have already been gifted, or other presents that have been acquired by teams, buying for themselves, that potentially shift some of our answers. So spontaneously, the San Jose Earthquakes buy Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo in a, pre-arranged contract for the January transfer window. Dan, I'm assuming you're not going to be getting Chris Wondolowski any striker help if that occurs. But let's get into it, folks. We'll begin the show with Christmas presents. So we'll be going down each of the conferences, starting in the Eastern Conference, going from bottom to top, and getting, if a particular MLS team was on our Christmas wish list or was on our Secret Santa list, then, what would we get them in order to help them be a little bit more successful in 2019? discouraging white elephants, because we're trying to be a serious podcast here and not be total trolls. So we will start with the bottom team in the Eastern Conference, Dan, and I have been assigned Orlando City SC, and I am getting Orlando City SC a center back. Orlando City's defense in their time in MLS has not been very, very good, and it was especially abhorrent this year. They had multiple international signings along the back line that did not work out. They'll be moving away from Joe Bendick, who's just kind of a, imagine a gif of a guy just going, "Oh, come on already," as like he's just standing around, like getting absolutely no help on anything. That was Joe Bendick in 2018. So, and the only center back who they had who was really good when he was playing with Jonathan Spector, who wasn't able to stay healthy for the entire season. So, this isn't an option because he's already signed with the New York Red Bulls. But, if I had to pick out a particular player, I would get a Tim Parker level center back in quality and in salary for Orlando City SC to help out their defense and maybe provide a little bit more structure that then allows Dom Dwyer to not be standing around so much rather than chasing on balls and opposing the opponent's center back. Stan, we will move on to Chicago Fire. What are you getting Veljko Panovic for Christmas?
So I was sitting as we were trying to like put together all the things we want to get these teams so far and trying to come up with something that works for Chicago. I realized how many needs they really have. So I'm just going to get them a transfer market gift card, just a cover all blanket type thing, to name a few things that I think would be really good for them. One, I believe they are pretty well set. I think that they'll be fine on wingbacks and stuff like that. They'll figure out something that works there. But I think a non-ancient center back is something that could really help them out. They've been playing Bastian Schweinsteiger there, and that's probably where he'll finish out his career. But if you can start to get in a couple depth options of center back wise that are younger, that are going to be good options for you there, I think that would be something that would work well for Chicago. That's one thing I had on my list. The other is a more of a true creative number 10 underneath Nico Nemanja Nikolic. I think Alexander Katai has done well on the wings. They could probably do with another winger. But if I'm looking at three needs that they should blanket out that transfer market gift card for themselves, would be as a center back, a winger, and then subsequently a number 10. I think if you do those three things, there's enough decent pieces still with this team that they could actually make a decent run at least at maybe a 7 or an 8 seed in the coming postseason.
Moving on, we'll go on to Toronto FC. Their roster is pretty set as far as, they're concerned. They already exercised the transfer option that they had on the loan for Aro. The team's already there. Honestly, Dan, if I am Toronto FC's ownership, I am buying everyone a mandatory 2-week vacation to Hawaii. I think this is a team that desperately needs to get out of the city of Toronto, needs to not play soccer together for at least 3 or 4 weeks together. I would include maybe the trainer involved on that just for any other niggles or knocks that are potentially holding the team over. I want on January 1st, so let's say, you know, the first day of training camp, I want a fully rested, fully healthy Toronto FC that is ready to come back and avenge everything that went wrong for them in 2018. Max out the hotel miles, max out your, you know, everything, you know, get Jennifer Gardner in here to figure out how they can make their Capital One miles work for everything. Take the entire team to Hawaii, no phones, no soccer balls, nothing. Just, you know, Michael Bradley, you're leading the team, everybody go paddleboarding. Let's move on to the New England Revolution. Dan, what are you getting Brad Friedel? And I guess rather, what are you telling Brad Friedel he needs to do?
So I decided to go away from me from what I had said earlier. My original thing was to stop being shitty. But I don't think that's going to work. And just as a general Christmas present, that might be a bit of more of a resolution, but if I'm going to help out Brad Friedel, at least in terms of the playing side of things, I actually think that this New England team is pretty well set up to be a counterattacking team, and I have a feeling that that's what Brad Friedel wants them to be. They need some help on the defensive end. They did just go get Edgar Castillo. They could probably use a center back, but I think the biggest thing that this team needs is a holding midfielder who can cover and shield the back line and then start the break for them. Someone like an Elie Sanchez, if someone that comes to mind immediately that maybe doesn't fit the system that's going on in Orlando, is Uri Rosell. If New England were able to trade some assets and figure out something that they, you know, maybe have something that they don't really need or some extra allocation money that they could trade to go get Uri Rosell, I think Uri Rosell would fit perfectly into the type of system that New England probably are built to run, and maybe more of what Brad Friedel would like to run. You know, be a pressing team, and then counterattack and stuff like that. You've got some quality in players who can start the transition. You have Juan Agudel, you have Diego Fagundes, not start the transition, but, you know, finish off the transition. They never really had someone that can really start it for them. And I think getting a holding midfielder that can do that, someone who can play strong defense and cover, but also really jumpstart the attack, with, you know, either diagonal balls or lines, you know, balls that kind of split the lines, of the opponent. I think that could actually do some really, that could do some good for New England. And that was originally my hope, I believe, during the season last year, was that they would go out and try and get Jeff Cameron and play him as a defensive midfielder and see if that is something that could work for them. Didn't work out. But I really think that's a need that this, New England team would have. I think it helps shore up some of the defensive issues they have and can at least help them be the counterattacking team that they are probably destined to be.
Moving on north of the border to Montreal Impact, I am getting the Montreal Impact some academy production. We were talking before we hit the record button, Dan, about them sort of transitioning out some of their older players. They've gotten a couple more MLS veterans who still have some room left on their legs. You know, the Michael Lazeras, the Quincy Ameriquois of the world who can fill in from a roster depth standpoint and be a veteran in the locker room. But we haven't really seen that academy tap out some of their production, even though they've had some potential. You know, they took a little bit of a step back a couple years ago when, for completely understandable financial reasons, they chose to dissolve FC Montreal, who was their MLS2 team. But I'd like to see some production out of the academy. They made a really big deal of it when they brought in Didier Drogba a couple years ago. I'd like to see them actually get some opportunity. Maybe not hashtag play the kids, but hashtag sign the kids. Let's move on to DC. Let's move on to the Philadelphia Union. Excuse me, Dan. What are you getting the Union for Christmas?
I went with a pacey goal-scoring winger. I think that's the biggest thing that they need at this point. I like a lot of the pieces that they have in set up. They've got a really good spine, a very young spine, but a spine that is very solid going through that team. I think they have a good playmaker in Alejandro Doyle, a really good playmaker in Bork Dochkal. I think you'll just see more from Corey Burke and hopefully a little bit more from CJ Sapong, but I really think they're missing, David Akam never was the David Akam that was in Chicago. He hasn't been, he was not that for them. And I think, getting someone who is a real pacey kind of drive at you type midfielder, especially a winger, is someone that can really help give the team a different look. Cause at the moment they have very technical, break you down kind of player, or break you down with the ball, and you know, passing the ball type wingers and players who can play out wide. But if they were to get a real like strong winger to drive at people, kind of make people beat people one on one and be able to either score or serve up a pass off that, I think would be something that could be huge for them going forward.
Let's move on to the Columbus Crew. Dan, a year ago, we were definitely getting the Columbus Crew a lot of things, mainly in them keeping their team. What are we getting Columbus this year other than ensuring that the largest, lumpiest piece of coal arrives at Anthony Precourt's house?
Yeah, I actually think I think that I would get them the same thing I want Philadelphia. Or I would get Philadelphia. I think they're a scoring threat. You know, Jossie's artist did great. Federico Higuain certainly serves up chances. And for a team like Columbus who were putting together, who you know, had one of the highest expected goal rates, but obviously had the largest margin of difference, negative margin of difference between their expected goals and their actual goal scoring production, it just comes down to do the players that they have in those positions actually score the goals, actually have the ability to put it away. It kind of reminds me of a Sporting Kansas City team from last year, is that Sporting Kansas City last year were very solid defensively, had a defender of the year and a goalkeeper of the year. Columbus didn't have the defender of the year, but did have goalkeeper of the year. But you have these really strong defensive pieces and a really strong defensive resume. But the issue is that they couldn't score goals. And then Sporting Kansas City went out and bought players and brought players in. And, you know, Daniel Shallowy grew up and they all of a sudden had players who were scoring goals, and were in the positions that they were in last year and still filling out all those expected goal different, you know, setups, but they were actually finishing their chances and actually finishing even, you know, worse chances than some of the ones that they were getting last year. So, the ability to finish, the intangible ability to finish, is what needs, I won't say intangible, but maybe not intangible, but the ability to finish is something, that Columbus really needs from the wings, is to give them a secondary goal scoring option. Cause I believe Federico Higuain can still do what he can do. I still believe that he's going to be able to create for people. The problem is, you know, Pedro Santos did not score a goal. Justin Merrim was pretty awful, and whoever else they had on that side, I believe it was Christian Martinez, was not scoring goals for them either. So if they are, you know, they're going to come. Caleb Porter, while is rumored to be the guy who's taking in Columbus, not official yet, but seems like it's going to happen. You know, he's going to run virtually the same system that a Greg Berhalter was going to run. It's a pretty seamless fit, I believe, in terms of formation and stuff like that. So the ability to get a real goal scoring threat out wide is going to be massive.
Let's move on to DC United. Dan, I'm getting DC United a right back for Christmas. They had O'Neill Fisher, who was absolutely excellent for them down the stretch. He tore, I believe, not his ACL, but his MCL, and then he had a bunch of other injuries in a freak in a freak accident during a game that caused them to not pick up his 2019 option. And then they were trying out Paul Areola there, which I think is an interesting experiment, but I'm not sure something that you want to have be the go-to plan for an entire 34 game season. So I'm getting DC United, a reasonably priced budget veteran MLS center back. You know, something on the kin to Jorge Villafañe is a left back, if I'm not mistaken. You know, maybe like a Kamar Lawrence type player for DC United to help round out their back line. Other than that, I think they're pretty set. They've got plenty of depth in the midfield. They've got Wayne Rooney. They're all covered on that front. Bill Hamid's going to shore up everything in goal. I think that's really the only one position where they have a distinct question mark going into the 2019 season. Let's move on to New York City FC. What are you getting New York City FC for Christmas?
I'm going to get them a healthy striker and even a serviceable help just to kind of fill out. You know, David Villa is going to be a huge miss for them. But the issue is that even when he was injured, they weren't really able to fill it with much production. Joe Inge Burgett wasn't very prolific in terms of a goal scorer. You know, he's a good defensive forward and kind of helps hold up and stuff like that. But I just didn't really see him really fitting into what New York City FC wanted to do. And even when, both when Dom Torrent was there and when Patrick Vieira was there. So if I'm them, I'm getting them someone who is going to be healthy, who is going to kind of fit the David Villa type role. Maybe obviously not as good as David Villa, because it's very hard to get someone as good as David Villa. However, that type of player is something I would look for them. And if I get them a nice, healthy striker,